Usually the wrap-up was a civilized affair, the knightly riders congratulating each other on skill and bravery as the crowd clapped in polite approval. But this time, Pete had other plans.
Let's go, boys.
Pete started walking toward the center of the pitch. Ian, Clark, and Tony walked with him. From the other side of the long pitch, three quick leader riders from the opposing team walked out to meet them. Pete pulled off his helmet, letting his long red hair spill down his back. He cradled his helmet under his right arm. He held his warhammer in his left hand, the blood-splattered end balanced on his shoulder. The Stompers team captain, Sabat the Nifty, was still inside Bess's stomach, where he would stay until she pooped him out. In the first round, Bess had snatched him right off his mouth and swallowed him in one gulp. It would be several more hours before he emerged in her stool, safely turtled up in his life-supporting armor. With Sabat indisposed, his second-in-command, Yopat the Crazed, would do the honors. Yopat's blue armor had looked a lot better at the start of the match than at the end, and the orange-furred sentient walked with a bit of a limp. Adult quick leaders were all about Pete's height, yet much thinner than the stocky dwarf. Leaders had two sets of arms. The first set, similar in thickness to human arms, was set low, just above the hips of their back-folded legs. Those arms, and the legs as well, ended in three pincered claws. A leader could walk on all fours, but never did. Only the lower castes touched their middle hands to the ground. The second set of Yopat's orange-furred arms technically weren't arms at all, but rather pedipalps, limbs that quick ancestral species had used to hold prey while the vertical mouth chewed away. Millions of years ago, the pedipalps had evolved into slim, dexterous appendages, ending in three thin fingers capable of fine work. The pedipalps extended from the sides of the vertical mouth, which sat just below the single, softball-sized eye. Long black antennae in three rows of two down the middle of Yopat's head stuck out through the sweaty, helmet-haired fur, arced gracefully down the back of the leader's head.
Yopat, I've got a bone to pick with you. You tried to blind my mount twice.
The leader's eyes swirled with black and flecks of green. Quith eyes were normally clear, showing a multiple of vision discs behind the cornea, but that cornea showed various colors based on the sentient's emotional state. Pete knew that black meant anger, and the flecks of green meant shame and signaled an admission of guilt.
Yes, it seems strategically appropriate.
Pete's fingers flexed on the handle of his warhammer.
You'll hear from Gessford about that.
I am unconcerned about your desire to, what is the word your people use, tattle on me.
Pete fought the urge to smash the warhammer into Yopat's head.
You're actually kind of lucky. This win means we jumped over you for fourth place. We'll be fighting for the championship at season's end while you'll go home. You'll just have to wait until next year before I get my payback.
Two matches remain in the season, human. You have the resurrected next week and they will crush you. Meanwhile, we will win both of our remaining encounters and finish one match ahead of you in the standings. We will qualify for the tournament, while you will stay home and dine on disappointment.
He held up the warhammer.
I should make you dine on this.
Yopat tensed, eyeing the hammer.
With a weapon in your hand, you certainly like to talk, don't you, pygmy?
Pete smiled.
Oh, look at you. You know lots of our words, including ones you think are insults. Here's another one for you to remember. Ouch.
Pete whipped his helmet forward. He struck Yopat in his blue breastplate. The leader tumbled backward onto the pitch. Pete dropped his hammer to the dirt and jumped on top of the furry sentient. The other two leaders moved in to join the melee, but Clark and Ian caught them before they had a chance. The crowd roared to life once again. Pete rained down blows on Yopat's cracked torso armor. The Stomper's second-in-command screamed with pain and anger, but Pete barely heard. His armored fist splintered what was left of Yopat's blue chest plate. Strong arms grabbed Pete from behind and lifted him half a meter off the ground. Pete stared down at the pair of thick, titan-covered Quith warrior arms wrapped around his chest. Leaders were Pete's size. Warriors were not. The one holding Pete had to be over 2 meters tall, and, judging by the muscles rippling beneath the enameled and engraved titan, was easily 110 kilos. Dangling in the air, Pete stared down at his foe and snarled.
Next time, Yo-Pet, your bodyguard won't save you!
The quick warrior held Pete before him and marched to the Ridgeback's dugout with agonizing slowness, Pete's boots dangling uselessly. Pete didn't struggle. If the warrior wanted, it could break Pete's small body into pieces. The crowd was cheering, but Pete barely noticed. It was times like this that he hated being small. Twice during the match, Yo-Pot had driven his lance tip at Bess's eyes. That was against the rules, since the eyes were the most vulnerable part of any mount, especially Dino's. It wasn't just bad form, it was bad for business. Lose the big mounts fans wanted to watch, and that meant fewer butts in the stands. Flesh could be repaired quickly. Eyes couldn't. The warrior dropped Pete to the ground, then roughly turned him around. Pete looked up into the warrior's baseball-sized eye. The warrior's thick eyelids, layered with plates of protective chitin, narrowed, and the cornea swirled with dense curls of black, like runs of ink spilled into curved glass. Judging by the density of enamels and engravings on his warrior's hairless carapace, he had served in the military, spent time in prison, or probably both. The warrior pointed a pedipalp finger in Pete's face.
Next time, human, I'll kill you.
A low bass growl vibrated through both of their bodies. Pete didn't need to turn to see what it was, as the warrior's cornea reflected the image of Bess's big head leaning in close. The warrior's eye changed from black to pink, the color of fear.
Bring friends. Bring lots of friends.